Today's scripture reading is John chapter 15, verses 12 through 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you.
Good morning, and welcome, a special welcome to all of our folks who are here, are visiting with us today, our guests. We have friends and family members and co-workers, and it's a blessing. We wanted to invite you today just to let you know how much we care about you, how much we love you, and how much we want to thank God for you, because you make a difference in our lives. And if you were invited here by someone today, it's because they love you. And they just want you to know how dear you are to them. And today, we just thank you for coming, being a part of our worship, so that we can praise God together for the blessing of friendship and family. A few days ago, I sent out an email, or Deanne did, from the office saying, hey, if you have photos you want to show of your family and your friends, please do. I was not disappointed at the return, and I think... have you ever been to somebody's house where they get the slide projector out? That when I was a kid, it was the slide projector. That's how old I am. And today, it's the iPad or the phone, and they're showing all the pictures of the grandkids. Well, imagine getting pictures from like 100 people. So sit back, relax, get your popcorn out, and we'll show a few photos, and then I may read a few verses about family and friends along the way. But here's some of the photos that were sent in. I won't comment on too many, but you might not know who these people are, but on the right-hand side is Miss Candy Chapman, or Mrs. Candy Chapman, I ought to say. That's her family. And some wonderful family photos that you all shared. Really, really appreciate it. A couple of my preaching buddies. And I want to know, where are these people? Because you guys look really good right there, and I know you're all from here, but I've never seen you look that good at church. So I just kind of wanted to know about that. Yeah, I mean, the formal wear here, but yeah. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. There's some caroling photos. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Well, that was perfect timing, wasn't it? For me, anyway. Lots of Disneyland pictures. I guess do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Friends of all kinds here today. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Some great friends here, that's for sure. Do not forsake your friend, or the friend of your family, or the friend of your father. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother who is far away. It's one of my favorites. Rejoice with those who rejoice, or maybe be silly. Now, those people are here, but I don't. One of you sent that, so you'll have to deal with that whole issue. I'm not sure. We did have a strange congregation. Look at that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. I'm not saying mourn there with the raise there. Sorry about that. But love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. Love is not self-seeking. Some old friends there. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts. Love always hopes and always perseveres. Way to go, Justin, leading the way there. Love never fails. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I don't know about that one. There's a friend. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Lots of friends and family. Some of our moms, mothers of preschoolers, me here on Thursday, some of whom are here with us today. We're glad to have them. Now, here's a quiz. You know who that little guy is right there? The little guy is sitting right over here in a purple shirt. He's the guy on the right in this photo. There he is. It's Kylie. I am not in the previous photo, but that's Kylie there with his good hat. Friends of all kinds. I don't know who's to blame for that one, but there it is. I have no filter on my email. I just put them up. That's a great one, isn't it? That's a great memory and a great shot. And yeah, maybe Chow is in order from Jim and Mike there. I'll end with one here of our family. The last time our family was all together just a short while ago. We're just blessed, aren't we? These are the people who are blessing in our lives, our family and our friends, and we just thank God for them. Where would we be? Really, where would we be without the people in our lives who strengthen us, who help us, who are with us all of the time? And I know that when you heard those of you who are here every week, you heard we're going to be talking out of Ecclesiastes. You're thinking, no, not Ecclesiastes. We have company today, and it's meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Come on, let's don't do that. But I'll tell you what, the teacher in Ecclesiastes knows that though there may be a whole lot of stuff in this world that's meaningless, there's something he sees value in. He sees the value of friendship. Because he understands that as we travel through life together, the friends are the people who are there with us, friends and family, those that know us and love us, and who enhance our life and bless our life. And so we turn to his words today. Tim read them just a couple of minutes ago, but let me remind you, from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Two are better than one. It's better to have a companion. It's better to have someone to share life with, a friend or someone in the family. He says two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. That's just true, generally speaking, isn't it? When you do a job, if you have more than one doing it, you're going to get more done. But what he's saying here is the simple pleasure that comes from working with a friend. Think of all the times that you've done something or taken on a project, and you've done it with someone who's a friend, somebody that's worked along your side and shared that with you. When I think of this verse, and I hope today as we go through these verses, you'll be thinking about your friends that fit this description. For me, when I read this verse, I think of a man by the name of Steve Green that I met in 1974 when Ellen and I moved to Petaluma, and Steve was this really big guy. Really big man, same age as me, but really big guy, had a big head of hair and a long beard when there weren't a whole lot of people who did. And he looked like this mountain man. He was a carpenter. He was a strong guy, but he had such a tender heart and he loved kids. And we worked in the Joy Bus ministry together, and Steve and I were co-captains. And every Saturday, we went door to door along our bus route. We had about 30 to 40 families. We visited them every Saturday, knocked on the door, talked to the parents, see if, are the kids going to come tomorrow and get our route worked out for the following morning. We did that every Saturday together for 9 years. I hate to confess this, but I must admit, there were at least one or two Saturdays in that nine-year period when I thought, I don't think I really want to go to 35 houses Saturday afternoon and do all this, but you know what? If I was down, Steve was up, and if Steve was down, I was up, and we worked at it together, and we shared this together. And not only did we do the work and accomplish it better and loose and share that, in a sense, that burden or that responsibility together, but all of those days we spent together, we drew closer. We became such close friends, knew one another so very well. And I think about the return that came back on that work, not only the blessing in our own lives, but the children who came to Bible class and to church and the families that were reached for the Lord through that ministry. And I see how God enriches our lives through friends. Anytime we take on a project together, I mean, if it's working on your car, if it's doing some project around the house or whatever it happens to be, when a friend joins you, when someone comes alongside to help you, it just lifts that burden you shared and it gives you an enjoyment. We joke about having work parties, you know, at the church building and working together. But, you know, they turn out to be parties because you get to talk to one another. You get to know one another and you have a good return on your work. Think of all the people in your life that have worked by your side, that have shared a burden and responsibility of some project or some ministry or some work in your life. Think of how you were enriched by that. Two are better than one. Because if one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who has no one to help him up. We've all seen the commercial, I've fallen and I can't get up, and it's kind of over the top and bad acting, but to be quite honest, we'd have to say it's a terrifying thing to imagine to be down and to be hurt and to have no one who's there to help. And we all fall down. We all fall down in a variety of ways. And we get hurt. And there's nothing that we need more in such a moment in life than someone who says, hey, what happened? Reaches out their hand, pulls us up, gets us back up on our feet. What a blessing friends can be. Sometimes we fall down through no fault of our own. Things just come into our lives. Circumstances come in our lives. Or there's illness or there's a financial setback or a loss of a job or just something, a special stress in the family or in the home or at the workplace. And we have people in our lives, a friend who cares, who reaches out. Sometimes, you know, we bring it on ourselves. How many times have I made a really bad decision and found myself knocked down, essentially, because of the poor choices I've made? A friend is someone at that moment who loves you anyway, who helps you get back up on your feet, who helps you put the pieces back together and get moving forward. And we don't expect our friends to make all the trouble go away. Nobody can do that. We don't expect them to wave a magic wand. It's just that they're there. And they truly do care about the fact that we've lost our balance or that we've been knocked flat and that we need assistance and help. And they reach out in whatever way they can to lighten the load in our lives. And we thank God for such friends and such moments. Years ago when we were living in Kenya, most of you here know, of course, our daughter Katie got very, very ill. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't know what to do. She just got sick and none of the doctors we went to could tell us what was wrong. And we struggled. What do we do? Do we take her home? Do we stay here? Do we wait this out? Is this a test of faith? Is Satan coming against the ministry God has called us to? Or is God saying, get your child home and get her some medical attention? And we were fatigued and we were fearful, as you can well imagine. We just didn't really know what to do. And on Tuesday nights, we got together with a group of fellow missionaries who were there in Nairobi. And on that one particular Tuesday night, I'll never forget, because after we all ate, we got together and Katie sat down in a chair in the middle of the room and Ellen and John and I got around her and then 25, 30 people gathered around us. And they put their hands down over our family and they prayed for us. They prayed for Katie's health. They prayed for wisdom in making decisions about what to do. They prayed that God would give us a sense of clarity about what path to take. They prayed that God would give us power and strength to endure, to persevere, whatever it was, and to understand His plan. And I remember so well. I remember it like it just happened yesterday. I remember how humbling it was to have so many people reaching out to us and caring for us. And I remember how empowering it was for people who loved you and cared about you to truly lift up your name in prayer before God, to care for you, to do the very best they could to reach out and to pick you up and to help you get back up on your feet. That's what friends do. That's what family do. When we're close, we care about each other. When we see somebody fall down that we love, we want to get them back up. Two are better than one. If two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? He's talking here about being on the road and traveling. And back in those days, if you're traveling all alone and it's cold at night and you stop for the night, you're going to be cold. There's nobody around. But if two are traveling together, you can lay close together. You can create some body heat and have a place to spend a warm night. I remember literally having that kind of experience with a group of guys several years back. I was with this particular group of fellows, most of them Kenyans. We were over in Uganda doing some cross-cultural missions training and experience, doing some teaching and things in different tribes and different languages than what we knew in Kenya. And a few days before this photo was taken, the 18 of us were out at a village, and we worked in that village. We taught, we worked with the leaders there in the church all day. And then that night, up on the side of a hill overlooking Lake Victoria, we set up this big portable movie screen, fired up a generator, and showed the Jesus film. Many of you have probably seen that. And people came around from all these little villages all around that part of Lake Victoria, and they heard the story of Jesus in their own tribal language in this film. I'll never forget that night. It was an amazing night. And we got all done, and we walked back down into the village where we were going to spend the night. And it was with this farmer guy, and he had a little shed. And it was pretty chilly that evening. And we got back down. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and they opened up. It was just kind of a shed or a small barn. And I remember the 18 of us going in there with our bedrolls and laying down, and how warm that place got pretty quick, even on a cool night by the lake. We were just falling asleep. It was midnight, and the door opened, and it was the farmer. And he said, "My wife has prepared dinner for you." Well, in Africa, that's what you do. When you have company, you prepare food. And if they show up at 11:30, you get dinner ready as quick as you can. And we went out into the, just out there outside. We found places to sit. And this wonderful Ugandan couple just served us this beautiful hot meal that they prepared for us. And you think of just the warmth, the compassion, the sharing, a friendship, even sometimes new friends because they're brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. The world can be a cold place, can't it? There's a lot of uncaring situations in this world. There are a lot of people cast to the side. A friend is that person and almost a place where you can go and bask in the warmth of your relationship and find warmth and peace when it may be everything around you seems bleak, but with your family or with your friends, you have that blessing. You enjoy the pilgrimage of life, even in a time that's difficult. Two are better than one because one can be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Imagine traveling the road when this is written from Jerusalem down to Jericho and being by yourself and traveling that road. It's going to be dangerous, but if you have a buddy going with you, you can probably take a stand and you have some self-defense. And how about if there are three of you on the journey together? Even better. There's somebody to help. There's somebody that's going to have your back. I don't know if you noticed this, but as I was putting those photographs together in that PowerPoint, I noticed how many of those picture groups were like three and four people. Two, three, four people, little cadres of people. Well, you know, we have these, sometimes we're just so blessed with these little groups of people around us that are like there, that have our back, that are going to stay with us no matter what. And I was thinking about I was seeing all these little groups of these trios and these quartets, and I have to tell you, it made me think of this. It made me think of you know, all for one and one for all. It's like, yeah, we're in this together. I've got your back. You've got my back. We're friends. We're connected. We're family. We're brothers. We are going to take care of one another. We're going to protect each other. We're going to watch out for each other. What a blessing it is to have someone in your life who has that kind of commitment toward you. And again, think of the person in your life that fits that bill. Think of the relationship that you have that's like the Musketeers. You know, I was blessed several years ago, and those of you who are here in our congregation, you know about these guys, Dennis Okoth and Larry Stevens, that Ellen and I, our family and their families all met in 1991, and we worked together planting a church outside of Nairobi, Kenya. I had never met Dennis or Larry till we moved over there. And over the next few months, it was amazing to me how our lives came together and how God just set out a common purpose before us to work together. And I don't know if there's ever a time in my life in such a concentrated way that almost every day we were together, and we were praying together, we were planning together, and we were serving together, and we were building together. We were fighting spiritual battles together. We truly shared all of life together. And to this day, these are men who have my back. These are men who would stand up for me. These are men who would protect me. They love me enough that they'll say the things that need to be said to me that nobody else will say. They'll be honest with me. They'll tell it like it is. They may knock my feet out from under me if I need it, but then they'll help me back up on my feet. These are guys that I think of when I read that passage, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And how many times have we been blessed in life with those kinds of relationships? And you just realize, these are people I can count. These are people who will be with me. We thank God for that. If we were going to do a sequel of the movie of these three guys, it'd look a little bit more like that. I don't know what happened to Larry and Dennis. They got so old. Don't they look terrible? They look old. I don't know. But anyway, I didn't hold up all that well myself. But, you know, it's great to have friends through the years. I don't know how it happens. How do relationships develop? It's hard to explain. You meet someone, you start hanging out with them, you start playing with them, maybe in the neighborhood. You have conversations together, you start doing things together. And you know, then this thing happens in a relationship. It doesn't always, because it's about common interests, but it's also common values and just where you click. You know, we all have this happen where you just, something happens, and you know, this relationship, this is going to be a good friendship. This is going to grow. And it does, as you open yourself up, you have this cycle of vulnerability and trust where you open up a little bit more and you trust a little bit more, because the more you open up, the more you're really entrusting your life and your heart to someone else, and you build up that relationship and that friendship, and it grows and it becomes stronger. And I know some of us through the years have perhaps gotten hurt in a relationship. I've talked to people who say, you know what, I'm just not getting that close to anybody anymore because someone let me down. And people build up walls to protect themselves. But I want to just warn you, please don't build up those kinds of walls, because you can build up walls to try to protect yourself. But you know what? Behind those walls, you're not going to hear the sound of very much laughter. And there won't be a warm embrace of a dear friend to help you through a difficult time. You may build your fortress, but you're going to find that you're not going to have the help inside that you need. We need to develop those friendships. It's a treasure worth the risk. So be a loyal friend. And when you find that person that just becomes the friend of a lifetime that you can completely open yourself to, that true friend, thank God for them. For me, it's the guy on the right, the big guy. The big guy on the right is John Toomey. I'm there in the middle, and then Jeannie is in between us. Jeannie and I got married 5 times, by the way. In neighborhood wedding celebrations, Jeannie, she lives up in San Jose now, but we had good neighbors, good friends. And right there in front of that same exact fence, here's Johnny and I a few years later. Our son, John, is named after John. John was my best friend growing up. He was my best friend into adulthood. Unfortunately, we lost John back in 1992, and missed him ever since. But there's no one in my life like John Toomey, from the earliest days up until his own passing. He's a true friend. We just, you know how those kinds of friends are. You don't get a lot of them in life. And we had so much fun together, so many experiences together. There's really nothing on earth. I don't think there's a blessing greater than this kind of friendship. And it may be with your husband or with your wife. It may be with someone in your family, but there's nothing greater than this, other than the relationship that you and I can have with God. Because when you really stop and think about it, you have all the money in the world, achievement and success and all those things that we pile up, all those things that people say are important in our life. How would you value that against a friend? The writer of Ecclesiastes, that's why he's saying this stuff over here, it's meaningless, it's futile, it doesn't get you anything, it's not the meaning of life, it's just some of the trappings of life. But he doesn't say that about friends, because you know what? Relationships and friendships continue forever, even beyond this world, even beyond this realm. In Christ, our friendships continue forever, because we continue forever. There's nothing more important. You may be right now sitting very near to the person who is dearest to you on the face of the earth. If you have a friend today, thank God for them. Let them know you love them. Tell them how valuable that they are in your life. And let's be loyal as friends and as brothers, sisters, parents, and children in our families. And just thank God for the relationships that we have. And don't miss out on the greatest friendship of all. John chapter 15. Matthew read it a moment ago to us, the words of Jesus in chapter 15, verse 12. He says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you my friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." No one loves you like Jesus loves you. No one loves me like Jesus loves me. He gave his life for us. He gave everything for us to open up a relationship with us and with our Father in heaven. That's how much he longs for relationship with you and me, that he would lay down his life, that he would take on all of our guilt and sin and take that out of the way through his own sacrifice on our behalf so that we could come near to God, so that we could truly be the friends of Jesus and the sons and the daughters of his Father and our Father. He calls us to be friends. He reveals his will to us. He calls us into relationship to do his will, to obey his commands, yes. You talk about a friend who made himself vulnerable. Consider the extent to which Jesus made himself vulnerable for each one of us by pouring out his very life to the Father. And that's why we're drawn to him. That's why we love him, because of the great love that we see in Jesus. And so many of us here, we've confessed him. He's the Son of God. He's the Lord. We bow before him. We long to be obedient to his word and turn from the things in our life that disrupt our relationship with God. Repent of those things. Turn from those and draw near to God. To be faithful to him and to confess Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, to go to the cross and trust in his blood for our salvation, to die with him, to rise with him in baptism, to be forgiven of sins, to live a new life, to be the friends of God. You know, I promise my friends to do my best, but I know I've let some friends down. I know. I've got friends and family here today, and I could look in your eyes right now, and I know there have been times when I let you down, and I'm so sorry for that, because I'm not a perfect friend. I'm not a perfect person. But I want you to know that Jesus is, and we strive to be the friends like Jesus is, but Jesus is the real thing, isn't he? He's the one we all strive to be like. He will never let you go. He will never turn loose of you. You think two are greater than one? Two are better than one? Think about that with Jesus. You think two are better than one? You'll have a good return for your life's work if you're working with Jesus. If you fall down, Jesus will pick you up. If you're cold, Jesus will share his warmth and blessing with you, and he will have your back. He will stand with you. You will not be overpowered in this world if Jesus is your friend. And if we as a church family can help you in your relationship with God, we want to invite you to Jesus, our friend and yours. And today, as we think about Jesus, don't forget to praise God for the dear friends and family that we have. To God be the glory. Let's stand together and sing.